Drifter mix with Jack the Ripper, dropping lyrics like some waiter. I was sitting on a
rapper.
You right in the kisser, pop like a blister, making moves on a track. Checkmate, Bobby Fischer. You're mad at me, man, like I valeted your sister. Drove her like a whip and then I tipped her. Just picture, this a vicious one. I'm on a mission, son. This my kitchen, stop your bitching till the dish is done. Not like you used to, might need a booster. Chop up the beat like I used a Yakuza. We got the producer, he's super de-duper. And I am so stoned like I checked out
Medusa. Yeah. Turned into stone over here.
Oh.
Welcome to the party. It's a Medusa party with snakes in our hair. Dirty Heads, yo. Coming up soon, right?
Very soon. That's going to be a hell of a birthday weekend for myself.
It sure is. What a birthday gift to have Dirty Heads and Slightly Stupid at such a venue. The sound is amazing. I mean, the sound at the sound.
The sound is amazing, too, yeah. The venue is cool as well.
You should check out the view.
Yeah. But I hope it goes well.
Oh, this show?
Because I have a feeling that this is them testing the waters on this stratosphere of artists.
Right, like, I've heard... I probably shouldn't say anything due to our relationships.
Okay,
with
all right. I feel you, Don Biggs. Oh, no, I shouldn't say.
No, not that kind of I shouldn't say anything. Not like I'm dropping names on my foot. Like,
it's just like I was hanging out with Duddy B, and I shouldn't say.
I shouldn't say. Yeah. He's John.
He's Drew.
Together, we are Drew Garabo Live.
With John Tenning.
Medusa. Monday on the show, Yellow Wolf. Musician, actor, creator, interesting fellow.
Golfer.
I can't wait to talk about that. I wonder if he's ever played 36 holes before work.
I would imagine so. Well, I mean, his work is... Yeah, I would imagine probably.
Oh, you don't... No, I bet he hasn't. I bet he would find it heinously irresponsible to play 36 holes before he had to perform.
Before he spit bars.
Yeah, because that would, you know, it takes a lot out of
it. It really does. It's a Friday, though.
It is. And maybe, I don't know.
I mean, if we only get like 40% of you, you deserve it. 40% of what's left.
I'll give you 100% of what's left. What's left is roughly 40%. Yeah, you know, that's going to be a good question we can ask him, actually, is about, because he loves golf and he is a performer. But his performing is a lot different. We get to sit down. He's got it. You saw it. He is energetic AF. He is. So my guess is no, he does not golf before performing.
Not 36, probably.
Yeah, I don't know what got into me. I haven't played 36 holes in a row. Well, I did that 100 holes of golf a couple of years ago as a fundraiser. That was insane, but I didn't have to work afterwards. You know, I broke out in hives afterwards.
I do think I remembered learning that, yes.
Yeah, like huge itchy hives. I had stopped at Shake Shack on I Drive and got home with it, and oh my God. A, it was cold, and B, huge hives.
Wait, what was cold?
The Shake Shack that I got.
Oh, okay.
I brought it home.
Okay. Yeah. The milkshake or everything?
Everything was good. Well, the milkshake was barely cold, unfortunately.
Yeah. Rub it on your wounds.
Exactly. So, yeah, no, I made a judgment call. I was texting with Birdie around bedtime last night, 9:45, and I said, wow, they're on Golf Now, which is that site that I use to book discounted golf rounds. They've got the Eagles at 6:22 a.m. I've never seen that early of a tee time made available publicly before.
The Eagles, that's the one with the Facebook post, right?
Yes.
And how's everything holding up these days?
Actually, funny you should ask. They have put money into the course and effort into the course. Now if they can get some help from Mother Nature, it's really going to rebound. But I have to say, the Forest course there is one of my favorite courses when it's in good shape, and they've got it in. They're trying really hard. It's, I would say, good shape right now, fair to good.
You should do a golf podcast.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love talking about the different courses.
I feel like you're very much like in the zone with golf right now. Like, and I,
yeah,
like,
you know,
probably a market for it.
Yeah, I think I could have like different guests who golf in the Tampa Bay area because there's so many cool people who golf. Mac Rothy, super cool golfer. Todd Wright, super cool golfer. You, super cool once a year.
Super cool cart mate.
Yeah,
I'm a big vibes guy. I'm a big, huge, you know, locker room guys. They call us in the biz.
They do.
That's what I'm all about.
Locker room guy.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong. I'm also a big substance guy. So I will do everything I can to make your game. I can make a great golfer as bad as me by the end of the round with the right substances.
Well, see, I'm like a bad radio program on the golf course now because no substances. I have no substance, like nothing.
Well, depending on the day and your mate, I mean, from what I hear.
No longer. No, I am.
When did that start? Two Sundays ago? Yeah.
Well, okay, yes, I guess there are exceptions. Yeah. I didn't even think about it. That's I don't even really consider that golf. That's more trying to stay alive.
Well, put me in that category of golf partner.
You that is an ideal group for you, my friend. Yeah. So I got out at 6:22 and I teed off probably a couple minutes before that. It was beautiful. Bats flying through the air, picking off mosquitoes.
Yeah, that's definitely beautiful.
I know you love that. And then I finished my first round at about 9, which I took my time and really enjoyed the day. Broke 90 for like the second or third time ever. Mm. Shot 89. Had a chipped in for birdie on 14.
Oh wow! Is everything okay? Would you Venmo her? Or?
No, I chipped in for birdie. My girlfriend.
What she got going on? She throwing a party or something? What are you chipping in for?
No, I meant you think that I meant that about my girlfriend and helping
love
her with some fundage.
I know you do. But I mean, if you're gonna tell us that you chipped in for
birdie. Yeah, no, yeah. I had a chip
in. Oh, because you guys are going to SeaWorld tonight, so you just like chip in for gas money or something?
Well, no, I don't need to do that. I have my VIP partner pass. I think that's good for gas money. No, I chipped in for birdie on the golf course.
Right. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean, so what? She paid for half and you paid for half? That was nice of her.
No, she didn't golf with me. I'm not saying that I helped accumulate some funds for my girlfriend who is a grandmother and therefore we call her Birdie.
I'm just trying to relate.
I know you are, but vibe with me, man.
You know you alienate me when you talk golf. I'm just
chipped in for Birdie.
Yeah, and I'm glad you helped her out. I'd love to chip in for her anything I could do as well. If she needs someone else to chip in, I'm here as well. So love you, Birdie.
Anyway, I chipped in for birdie, and then I get done, and I put my clubs in the cart, but I had to pee, and so I went in, and I was like, this little voice in my head, you know the Great Gazoo on the Flintstones, are you familiar?
Yeah.
You're not, though, right?
I mean, is that the little alien?
Yeah. Fred and Barney had, like, a little green alien, and he was like, hey, knuckleheads, it's me, Gazoo.
Yeah, I remember that, Cap.
Okay, well, Gazoo was like, hey, moron. You want to play another 18? And I was like, oh, my God. Because I didn't even really think I should play in the first place. But Birdie was like, go ahead. Spend the money. It's worth it.
You chipped in for it. The least you could do is, help you follow your passion.
Left it so ambiguous. So I went into the lady, very nice lady in the pro shop, and I said, just out of curiosity, what would your replay rate be? And she said, I just charge you the cart fee. And I said, well, what's that? And she said, $19.
Oh, wow.
And it was significantly more than that, like four times that to play the first time. So I thought to myself, do I really want to do this? It's muggy AF, sticky AF, but God, do I love some golf. And John, I did it. I got around in about 2 hours and played another 18 holes. Well, 17 holes, three very nice large black gentlemen waved me through on hole number one. They were super nice. They were like
how large?
I would say two of them one had the physique of an athlete.
Oh, wow.
And then the other was a little older, looked like he might have been a former athlete. Okay. And they had some young kid with them.
Oh, hot.
And so they were on the first tee in the fairway when I stepped up there, and I thought I had made a horrible mistake. I'm like, oh, my God, this round is going to take forever. Not because of their ethnicity, but because there was a group of three in front of me, gotcha. John. Okay. God, I know what you're judging. Yeah, look.
They say explaining is losing. So.
I'm losing, John. They waved me right away. They're like, go on up. And I just skipped the hole. I said, thanks, fellas. I said, you can play. Take your time. I said, no. I'm on my second 18.
You just wanted to get away. I feel you.
No. They don't call it West Chase for nothing.
Okay. I was going to say, I didn't even think they'd let him through the gate over there.
Great migration. Yeah. I got around to 2 hours. I was exhausted, but it felt so good to overindulge in something like that on a Friday. And here I am. Ready to
you look
rock.
Alive. You got some tone to your skin. You're upright. And I mean,
thanks.
That's all we can ask for in this
thanks.
Life.
And you get to experience something very exciting tonight. I've been thinking about this a lot because the Red Hot Chili Peppers at one point in time were up there with Beastie Boys, U2, REM, Les, like favorite band echelon. You know what I mean?
How many times have you seen them?
Three. Three times.
Yeah, I'm very excited. It's going to be a unique concert experience because we're taking my niece. I think it was a Christmas present. We're taking my niece, who is 13. So because we will be in charge of a child, essentially, substance-free. No drinking. Normally, we would get out there and have a couple beverages and other things. Sober. 100% sober. And Danielle even said, she was like, well, I'll stay sober, and you can da-da-da-da-da. And I'm just like, nah, I just... Not that I see myself needing to be like have my wits about me. It just feels like the right thing to do.
Have you seen the Chili Peppers before?
Never.
Oh man! Never. And the only time you're going to get to see them, you're not even going to be a little lifted, elevated.
Is there anything to be said for possibly finding another level of joy through being sober? Mm-mm. Like it might be like I'm trying to think of shows in my life that I've seen fully sober.
I bet it's not many.
It may be non-existent, so this may be like the new trip. Like, I'll get there, and I'm like, whoa, dude, whoa, man, whoa.
What if we started not getting high before a concert? Like, you'd sit around and be like, hey, guys, how's this going? Not getting high. Oh, man, I'm so ready for this show.
Dude, it's just like my senses are so out of whack that when I get in there and I hear the music with my unaltered ears and see it with my, you know, clear eyes, full heart, then maybe I'll just be like high all over again.
That's interesting. I never really thought about it that way, but you might be right. You might actually have, you'll definitely have a more authentic concert experience.
Definitely. So it's
Ice Cube too, huh?
Ice Cube as well. Which the funny thing is my niece has no idea who Ice Cube is.
Oh.
So they were going to listen to Ice Cube on their way up here today. So, I mean, her mom has, my sister-in-law has to know, you know something.
Oh, definitely listen to America's Most Wanted, where he spells America with the KKK.
Her mom will be like, hey, maybe you guys just get in a little bit later. Maybe you skip the opener.
Because, I'm sure on the Chili Pepper story, he's not going to be very angrily anti-white.
That is the only, we're staying sober. We're going to be child-friendly. The only selfish thing that we're doing is being in early enough for Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Even if she doesn't necessarily want to be.
It's quite the vice. He's got some jams. He's got some bops.
He does.
I hope he does Jackin' for Beats. And one I've always loved is...
Now this one dedicated to the man them call MacGyver. And no 007 James Bond spy man inside the area. Maximum respect to the man them call Ice Cube. And the bus no deuce, no drink. Wicked.
You know this one? With the Flavor Flav sample?
I don't know if I do. He had an album that hit right when I was about to move from Michigan that probably was not very well respected. Laugh Now, Cry Later. Do you remember that? 2006?
I don't. That was my favorite era of Ice Cube. Back when he, you know, he had a little rawness to me. He wasn't doing, no offense, Mr. Cube, Mr. Jackson, if you're listening.
Oh, I mean.
But you know.
You can't do the things he's done and keep that.
No.
Like, you can't do the, you can't do the road trip movies. And you know what he's got that sometimes is forgot about because it came so much later was You Can Do It.
Oh, yeah, Put Your Ass Into It.
Yeah, which I'm sure gets the crowd going.
I'm sure. That'll probably be near the end. I would say he does that early.
Like really get the crowd going early and then end with...
It was a good day, probably. Guaranteed closer.
Who do you think... Like, do you think that if it is as it seems and the Chili Peppers... Like, do you think they all get together and throw names out there that they all like, or do you think it's more of like a Kiedis thing or like a couple guys?
Yeah. I think absolutely Chad, John, Anthony, and Flea all get together in a circle, probably touch tips, and then come up with the set list. I think they know they're going to do certain songs somewhere.
I'm talking about openers. I mean, Ice Cube for the average person, although there is some overlap in you know, fan bases, I would imagine. But considering they go so out of the norm with I think Kid Cudi's another one that opens, like I'd be curious to know whose loins that comes from.
I would imagine Flea has a heavy influence because he likes a lot of the West Coast rap. I know Anthony does too. I think Chad would prefer like a rock because he's more of a rock guy. It's weird that he's even in the band and he wasn't the original drummer, but it's so weird that he's in the band because he's such a frat rock dude, you know, and the rest of them are not.
It's funny. We were having the conversation, I think, last week about the set list, and the guy, dude from The Who, was like, don't do it. And I specifically called out by name Mike Olivero because I said he studies the set list like nobody else.
Oh.
Well, he wasn't listening that day.
Right.
And we were chatting in the break room, and he's like, oh, you excited for tonight?
Yeah.
Did you look at the set list yet? And I was like, no, I'm not looking at the... I'm not looking at the set list.
I would not look for the Chili Peppers. Yeah. I would want to be surprised.
You know what is an interesting phenomenon? The one song I want to hear, I don't want to hear in the presence of my 13-year-old niece.
Sir Psycho Sexy?
Sir Psycho Sexy.
Yeah, I would imagine that.
Like, I would love to see that live, and yeah. I don't know if they do it, but I still don't know that it would be worth it to... for that.
She'd know what they were talking about.
They absolutely and I've told you that was my dad. I learned this later. That was my dad's favorite song. He had that on cassette, and he would like hide it from. It was the first time, probably the reason I love explicit music as much as I do, because I knew it had the advisory.
Yeah.
And he would hide that cassette. Like, I'd see like a glimmer of it, and it was like almost when I looked at it, he'd go put it in a drawer somewhere or something. And then years later, I found out that he was just listening to Sir Psycho Sexy on repeat.
Can't really play it, but what a jam.
And then when I was of age, we played this a lot.
I bet you did. It's a jam. And really that album just exploded. That Blood Sugar Sex Magik, it was a crazy, crazy time because, you know, all the bands that I loved that I thought I would love with two or three other people forever then exploded, from U2's Joshua Tree to Green Day's Dookie. And then the Chili Peppers was so unexpected because they were so balls to the wall. I mean, Freaky Styley, their self-titled first album, even Mother's Milk. And then on Mother's Milk, I remember MTV picked up the video for Taste the Pain and Knock Me Down and the Stevie Wonder cover, Higher Love and or Higher Ground. And I was like, wow, MTV is rocking some Chili Peppers. That's crazy. And then all of a sudden, boom, now... adult contemporary.
Yeah, it is kind of crazy. And you know what? It's almost a forgotten era because I think a lot of people thought they lost their way and then found their way back eventually.
Yeah.
But I love a lot of the stuff off of One Hot Minute.
Yeah.
Like that. It was a different time, but I'm hoping to hear some of that stuff tonight as well.
Yeah, I wish I could hate their jump to adult contemporary, very mainstream alternative, but the songs are Chili Pepper songs. You know what I mean? It's like, it's almost like they're mocking that genre in their own way.
And did that start with Californication? Did it start with that album? Like, yeah. Is that when they started being looked at that way?
Was that before or after Stadium Arcadium?
That was before.
Okay, then yes. Californication was the one where all of a sudden radio was like, oh, hello.
Yeah.
We could play that like 10 times an hour.
And interestingly enough, I think it also was kind of, was that the first time they were reunited with Frusciante?
I believe so. Yeah. I think you're right because Navarro came along after Blood Sugar.
Yeah,
and he and Anthony. Remember him and Anthony making out in that video?
Which one was that? When they were in the boat? Were they in a boat?
It was Breaking the Girl, I think.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh, dude,
him and that they did that for real?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm sure they were both hopped up on the heroin. But yeah, if you Google the video,
was that One Hot Minute album?
I think so, yeah.
Was that the only album he did with them? I think it might have been.
Yeah, I don't think they did another album.
Because that was the other thing too, is I think they went like 5 or 6 years without doing an album.
Yeah, they sure did. They took quite the long break, but I tell you, they got more prolific when they came back. Anthony Kiedis, Dave Navarro, Kiss. All right, here we go. Video. It is from One Hot Minute, and
I'm trying to think of what they had the videos because I remember they were in the boat. What was the? Was that My Friends?
Oh,
My Friends. Was that when they were floating in the boat?
Yeah, I think so.
Was he making out with Dave Navarro in the boat?
No, I don't think they kissed in a boat. I think they kissed on a beach.
Was it? I'm trying to think what they had videos for. It wasn't Aeroplane, was it?
No. I'm pretty sure it was Breaking the Girl or Into the Sun. One of those jams.
Those songs were on One Hot Minute?
Maybe.
I don't think they were.
I'm not going to lie, lost track of their catalog. Oh, Warped. It was at the end of Warped when they
Warped Tour.
The song.
Warped.
Warped. You know what you're really going to enjoy, I think, is the very organic improvised jam that they do. I think they do it first, so they all just come out on stage and then
I
like,
love that. Yeah, like that is dude, I love
that's everything.
Especially when you don't, I mean them, I think you kind of expect when you go see a band and you don't really foresee them just breaking down and jamming, it's one of the greatest things. And I'm on my way, I was sharing with you before the show, I'm on my way to being a newly found Deadhead after watching about an hour and a half of the Grateful Dead documentary that I think, even though you are not necessarily a fan, you would love the, I don't even know how to put it into words, but like just the psyche behind why they are the way that they are and the band turned out way that they are. Almost this rebuke of everything that entertainment is when it comes to, you know, leaning on what people want and knowing how to make people go crazy. And rather than doing that, finding that naturally on stage. And I thought put that way, it just sounded really cool.
You know, put that way, it does sound really cool. Yeah. I am open to checking it out now.
Long Strange Trip. It's 4 hours long. So it's a session.
Four separate 1 hours?
Yeah. But just, I didn't know that they started as essentially a bluegrass band. Jerry Garcia was obsessed with the banjo, like obsessed so much that he put it down and never picked it up again because he said that he became so obsessed with perfection that it was like sterile when he played. So when he got rid of that, and I think he was really damn good, he got rid of it and they started the second version of the band. That was like him saying, I'm not going to be that anymore.
Yeah. Huh. I didn't know any of that. And you got me intrigued. Long Strange Trip.
Long Strange Trip.
Yeah, because I've heard, like, What a Long Strange Trip It's Been, I think, is an album of theirs.
Yeah, and just the whole idea that they have this guy that I guess followed them their whole career and wrote about them, and he gives this really kind of long spiel, and they make, like, this psychedelic imagery to kind of explain it. Ooh. And he's like, take all these guys, an expert. One guy was an R&B guy, and one guy was a classical composer, and then you take that and you add LSD, and you strip away all the egos, and you strip it down and shake it up, and what you're left with is these guys that only cared about making magic and not any one man, you know, getting more shine than the others.
Bob Weir, Jerry Garcia, Phil Lesh.
That sounds right. That sounds right.
And there's another dude.
Yeah.
I think he's dead. Grateful too.
I will tell you, the guys that are alive, and I think maybe they got started younger than everybody thinks or that I thought, they look great. Huh. Like Bob Weir still, like, he's an old dude.
Oh yeah.
But like, considering they made their career on doing hard drugs and tripping balls, like, they look pretty damn good for how old they are.
And I think Jerry was into the, I mean, he doesn't look so good because he's dead.
Yeah, he is
dead. Grateful.
Yeah,
he is but dead. But I think he got into the cocaine pretty bad.
Yeah, I didn't get to hit. I was thinking, and I didn't want to peek ahead, but I did wonder how untimely his death was.
I think quite. I think he might have been in his 50s, and you know, he didn't really take care of himself.
Yeah, 53.
Oh, I outlived Jerry Garcia.
I will tell you this. Jerry Garcia meant to have a beard. You start looking at Jerry Garcia, the early days without a beard, and God, he couldn't have grown that thing any quicker.
This is a really dumb question given his surname, but is he Latino?
I don't know. I didn't get that far. I mean, it wasn't. I can tell you the beginning of the story wasn't like Jerome Garcia coming from the streets of Tijuana.
That's kind of where I was going with that.
Yeah, no, I did not get. I did not believe that.
Hey, man, give me that banjo, man.
I mean, he wasn't straight up from the homeland. I think he was born in San Francisco, but his birthday is one day away from mine, August 1st.
Probably much like Louis C.K., he has Latino heritage.
Yeah, so the Latino heat.
From Mexico. Back to the Chili Peppers just for 1 second. The fact that they can all still jam together, the fact that they can all still tour together, they have been. I don't know if you've read Flea's autobiography or Anthony's autobiography. Well, they're not about avalanches, so
I was going to say, unless either one of them were caught in an avalanche at any point in their career, haven't read that one.
They've lived interesting lives, and Scar Tissue by Anthony is a phenomenal read, and Flea's Acid for the Children is just as good in a different way.
I wonder if they got him on tape.
Probably. I bet Flea reads his own.
With them reading, yeah.
Yeah, I bet if you looked on Audible, I bet Flea reads his own, because he's got a real cool voice. You're going to be very fixated on Mr. Balzeri, because he is a joy to watch. The guy has that Bob Marley get lost in your music.
Yeah, and to be able to still do that all these years later, which I would imagine it's been reinvigorated probably many times over throughout the years.
You're right, and it's not fake either. You can tell the sincere love for what he does in his eyes. A lot of guys, you would look at it and go like, all right, we get it. You're playing the bass. But with Flea, you can tell he's just so like passionate about it.
I was kind of surprised, honestly. I don't remember the last few tours, but the last time I remember them coming around was a stadium. They did Camping World.
Yeah, they did.
So,
a couple years ago.
Yeah, so I was surprised. I mean, I don't know if they could do Ray J, maybe with another headliner. I know Ray J's a smidge bigger, but hey, it'll be cool to see him, especially. And I'm leaving out the biggest part. We're in the pit. Oh, so I mean, we're gonna be in the mix.
Dude. Wow, yeah. Two of my favorite people in pits back to back nights. Xander watched Blink-182 from the pit last night.
Dude, that is so damn cool. That had to be like, what was his Like, that had to be his coolest concert experience. I don't know what he's been to up until this point in his life, but that had to be it, right?
He's been to some good shows, including Third Eye Blind at Janis Live. But he used the word incredible a lot. He really, he was blown away. Blown away.
Did you find out if he ordered a beer?
I don't want to ask. I don't want to be that dad. Like, did you get a beer?
I don't think you ask it like that. You're like, gee, pop a couple cold ones, son. You're 21 years old.
Well, he said he wants his first drink to be at the Castle. And Jen and Alan from the Castle really want to make that happen. God. And I think I'm ready to be the conduit to making that happen. I would like to introduce them to each other and go, Jen and Alan would like to buy you your first beverage here at a club that you love, and good night. Have fun.
I love, and you're not going to do this, but if I'm painting the perfect night.
Paint your perfect gothic picture.
Yeah, you and Xander get in an Uber together, and you Uber to the Castle together.
I already hate it.
And nobody's got to get wasted, because I know you're not going to, but you guys sit down, you have this great meeting of the minds, you introduce him to the powers that be there, and then a lovely bartender comes over, and you're like, me and my son are each going to have...
Have a Coke.
And then you just sit there, and then you just have a little cheers, and he goes, Dad, man, I can't thank you enough for making me the man I am today and for getting me to 21, and this is this is a special moment to me.
I don't want to cry at the Castle, John.
I feel like I almost just made you cry. That's pretty good. Yeah,
man.
Damn, I got the touch. And then, or the other way.
So did Seth.
This is the other way. Let's call him up. The second one, my second vision, you stay sober, but then he takes his first drink while being whipped by the Whipper Man. Oh, no, he's gone, isn't he?
No, I think he's back.
Okay, he's whipped by the Whipper Man.
I think I'm favorable to the first one.
Okay.
If anybody's going to be whipping my ass, it's going
to
be
me. Would be fun, too, if you ask the Whipper Man to use his...
Can I live out a big fantasy that I'm a type of parent who's a disciplinarian? People would be there with their cell phone. They'd be like, hypocrite!
In front of the Tampa Bay Times. Radio host who built career on shaming child abusers, spanking, drinking son at the Castle.
You know, he's got a Captain and Coke and he welts on his ass. Hello there. Happy Friday and welcome to Drew Garabo Live with John Senning. Who might you be?
It's Brian. Happy Friday.
Oh, hey, Bri, what's up?
Hey, buddy. Hey, John, I think it's a good idea to stay straight with Anthony and, up front with your niece. Keep an eye on her.
Yeah, no. I agree.
Oh, I see what he's saying. Your niece is 13, and that's ripe young age for Anthony Kiedis. No offense, Mr. Kiedis, if you're listening. And if your girlfriend is listening, who's your little cutie?
That was a good one. I didn't pick it up at first, but that was...
It took me a second, too.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do for everybody's behalf. If I had a 13-year-old and my brother or anybody was taking them to their first concert, I would bring me comfort knowing that they would be sober.
I got one more thing. The last night, I got set up for bed, and I'm listening to... Do you know WGCI in Chicago? Hip-hop station?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Well, it's straight out the hood. Oh. Anyway, they were doing your bid on the ladies with keeping photos. It was hilarious, dude. Tripping.
Wait, was it when you say it's hilarious? Does that mean it's more hilarious than when we did it?
That's what I thought too. Is like,
I mean, that was kind of the way you said it.
Yours was better. I do, because I understood what you said 90% of the time. I only got about 60.
Was that Lil Cuz that you were listening to last night, 6 to 10 p.m.? Is that Lil Cuz?
Lil Cuz, that's his name?
Yep, that was it.
Yeah, well, I got to say, look at you bringing some street cred to the table. The fact you're listening to WGCI as you go to bed is pretty impressive, Brian.
Yeah, we might pick those guys up at night. So, keep listening, man. Great to hear from you, Brian.
All right.
Spoiler alert, that was our announcement. Coming to our new...
That's the way we made it. That's the way we roll out Lil Cuz at nights here on 102.5 The Bone.
Sorry, Mo didn't know either. So.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry, Mo, but this is a rough way to find out, but we go from Big Cuz to Lil Cuz. hello, Drew Grubb Alive with John Senning. Who are
you? We're joking, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
Yeah, and if somehow that comes to fruition, just a coincidence.
Lest anyone think that was real, that was farcical.
Yeah,
he used a code there.
Yeah, everything about it was fake.
Farcical.
Lil Cuz. Lil Cuz. Cuz.
From the 239, I'm guessing Northport or Fort Myers. Probably Fort Myers. Who are you?
I am Leo Schofield. I am calling for John and Drew show.
Yes, Mr. Schofield. I'm the phone screener here at Drew Garabo Live.
Man, 36 years. He can't waste one more second of it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry. I don't want to mess with you, Leo. You mean star of a fantastic podcast by Gilbert King, Leo Schofield, wrongly accused of homicide, Leo Schofield, and now giving us the opportunity to pay back for your support of our show, Leo Schofield.
Oh, that's him. Yeah. Leo Schofield loves you guys.
We love you too, buddy.
We love you too, buddy. We were, I don't know if you heard me talking, dude, that 2020 piece that they did on you was pretty damn cool. Did you watch it? Were you happy with the way it came out?
Yeah, you know, I did. I did watch it. I didn't get to see it on the night that it came out, but I watched it the next day on Hulu. And, yeah, they did a great job. I know the producers pretty well, and I got to meet John Quionis for the first time. And they're really, really great people. They've done a lot of work for a lot of years. I mean, you know, there's always something. It's interesting to me how people interpret your story when they tell it back, you know, and there's always little nuanced things and stuff. But for the most part, it's right. And, you know, and the whole thing for me is about getting justice for Michelle. And so,
yeah,
you know, we're still working on it.
And I thought it was really cool how Gilbert was also kind of a centerpiece. Like, it was almost like he narrated not only like through the podcast, but through the show. And it was really cool, Drew. I don't know if you've seen any yet. It's like he's almost doing a podcast as they're filming him narrate it. So it's just really like him and John Quionis are kind of going back and forth with telling the story. And I don't know if you know this, Leo, but, you know, Mo that comes on after us, his daughter is married to
Quionis's
son.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Small world.
Wow. Yeah. Small world.
How's freedom treating you? You do anything else exciting since we last spoke?
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, I went into debt up to my eyeballs and bought a truck and, you know, and but I'm getting around and I got another job and,
good.
So, you know, yeah, I'm going one day at a time. I'm just taking everything really slow as I can, and I'm just enjoying being out here. We're working on my book deal with Abbott Kaler. Abbott Kaler is the writer. I have her permission to mention her.
Oh, wow.
I'm talking to you guys. And, you know, and I want you to know that my entire team loves you guys, too. You're the only ones that I'm allowed to speak to.
Oh, wow. Dude, we got the Leo exclusive.
That makes us feel very, very, very special. And we won't take advantage of that relationship.
Not too much.
Yeah, I had sent you an email because I had noticed, I think Gilbert King shared it, and I hope it's okay and you don't mind me mentioning it, but there's a GoFundMe out there. Help me and my family as I prepare for a life of freedom. And we were kind of talking the other day. It's an interesting situation because you technically are out on parole, but for those that believe what we believe and many others, you know, you've had your life taken away from you, and it would be great to see the state or whoever step up one day, but that might never happen. So how can people kind of help you out and donate a little something and help you get back on your feet and live in some semblance of a normal life?
Yeah, I appreciate you asking that. You know, and this is really hard for me because if you know who I am, I absolutely hate asking for money. I don't mind working for mine. But, you know, it is a big help when if they can donate to that GoFundMe. And I didn't make it, so I'm not even sure where it is. But I know that the way that they set it up, that whatever money you do donate, it definitely comes to me. It's not going to another organization. It drops from GoFundMe straight into my bank account.
Good.
And it's been up for a couple years, I think, and it's helped quite a bit. Like I said, I just bought my truck, and I'm still paying on it. I'm making it. So anything that they can do to help, but you know, their support is everything to me. The love that they share is everything to me. It's a lot more than money. And so
for sure,
yeah, I appreciate that as well.
Of course. You know, what John mentioned about you not technically being found exonerated, et cetera, is, you know, those guys typically when they come out of jail, they get millions of dollars. You know what I mean? And Leo,
because
he's technically on parole, got nothing, got bupkis, and he was in jail for over 30 years for a crime that by all accounts, by our account, this dude had nothing to do with, and his wife was murdered. So I don't want to tug at your heartstrings too much, but this guy could use a little help.
I just retweeted it. I think Drew probably will retweet it shortly. I believe this is your from your wife's account, Chrissy's account. So people can find that at Schofield_Leo on X and Twitter, whatever people call it these days. Man, I have to say going back and watching the 2020 really kind of reinforced how much Chrissy had to do with all of this happening. And I mean, listening to the podcast and having been a period of time watching that special, you really realize that this woman became your number one supporter and fighter. And she brought all of the connections that she had and getting that, I know we don't want to go too much into details, but getting, you know, some of those, the fingerprint eventually tested and things like that. Those were all her connections. And man, you got a good woman right there.
Yeah, she was very, very tenacious and beautiful on top of it. So, yeah, I was very blessed with that and still am. And she still is tenacious. And we believe that at some point, sooner or later, that, you know, I'm hoping that the state really just you know, comes to its senses and joins me in the exoneration. You know, I'm really not after the money. I'm not after anything other than justice for Michelle. That's it.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, she's Chrissy's been my biggest supporter and in more ways than one. And you know, I can't say enough about her. You know, she's fantastic. And you know, and saying that, and I appreciate your acknowledgement, because she sacrificed a lot for me. I mean, she lived her life with her husband in prison for over 3 decades and suffered because of it, you know, financially, emotionally. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot to support.
Hell yeah.
You know, someone in prison that long. And, you know, she could have done a lot of things with her life, and she could have been with anybody she wanted to be with. And you know, she chose to be with me and made that sacrifice. And, you know, so I'm hoping now that I can get myself into a situation where I can start giving back. And, you know, I mean, I love her with all my heart. That's never going to change. But, you know, I'd like to be able to help her, you know, and her struggles too. And so whatever help comes to me goes to her and helps us both to get on our feet and try to just live a little bit in the end. You know, I'm 58 years old and not old yet, and I'd like to do some things with my life. And, you know, I'm not going to be able to collect Social Security, obviously, and yeah, take a job at a really good mechanic shop, yeah, that I met last week down the road here.
Good.
I'm going to do that for gas money, you know.
Leo, we were having a conversation yesterday or a couple days ago, and I hope it's okay I ask you this. We were kind of, there was a story, a violent story out of a local jail, and we got to talking about how some people go into prison not necessarily criminals, and they come out, you know, with criminal minds. Somehow you right. seem to have done the opposite. You're very open about, you know, you weren't the perfect person back then, and you look at who you've become. What's the testament to being able to become a better person and grow so much in a world that is kind of can be so seedy and dangerous at times?
Yeah, thank you for that question. That's really great. Let me say this, and I won't get into a whole lot of detail, and I want to just, being true to me and who I am, I want to give praise unto my God, Jesus Christ, for getting me through the 36 years. That's the biggest part, is my faith. Aside from that is I went in with a determined will to not allow myself to become institutionalized with the prison system, because I didn't want to be changed. I didn't want to be, you know, different. And it was hard. And there's a lot of pressure on guys, and I imagine the girls too are in the prison, the female prison, you know, to adapt to the environment. And after 36 years, I can say that I wasn't completely successful in resisting all institutionalized. I still wear shower sides in the shower. That some people think that's weird, but you're going to wear them in a prison, that's for sure.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, little quirky things that, you know, I do from habits of prison, but for the deeper things, the deeper, you know, soul things of the spirit and who you are and character. I think that I stay focused on being true to myself and believing somewhere along the line. I'm going to tell you, Drew and John, I started off believing early on that this was going to be made right somewhere. And I didn't think it would take this long. But when you start on that path, you just hang on. And then I was blessed to meet Chrissy early on, in like 3 years in. 4 years later, I married her, and she's been with me. And like I told you last time I talked to you, I wasn't perfect in there. I'm not a saint by any means. But whenever I had my dark moments, she was there to pick me up. And so I want to stress another part is family. Without family support, it's really, really hard. The prison will swallow you alive. But if you have family that care about you and you can kind of take on their character, then, you know, you stand a pretty good chance of surviving intact. And then I just wholeheartedly believe in the goodness of people. You guys are perfect examples of that. I can't even tell you again how important it was to me to hear you guys on the radio when I was at Hardy and get the shout out from you guys. And it's just fantastic. And just to know that people care about me, you know, that means everything. And there's so many guys in there. There's so many guys and so many people in the prisons who don't have it. There's like 10% of the entire prison population have people on the outside that care about them. The rest are vastly alone. And it's a very despairing place. So I just want to make people aware of that because, you know, I'm not an advocate for criminals. I'm really not. And I'm not trying to say that we should feel sorry for people who have committed, you know, heinous crimes. I'm just saying that the reality is that there's a lot of lonely, despairing people in there who have been in there for many, many years. And I ask myself, when is it enough?
Yeah.
How far should the punishment go? You know, and
Leo, before we let you go,
redemption.
Yep, yes, sir. Absolutely. And you've got a hell of a redemption tale for sure. It's been a couple of weeks since we talked to you, and we talked to you right after you got out, and everything was just so brand new, and you made some great observations.
Right.
You've had a couple of weeks to kind of acclimate yourself. What still, like, really blows your mind when you wake up every day a free man? Like, what about our world are you just like, man, this just absolutely blows my mind?
Wow, man, you guys ask the greatest questions. I guess that's why I love talking to you guys. Yeah, you know, there's so much, too. I mean, from the moment my eyes open, because it takes me a second. You know, like when you wake up and you have that moment where you're not really sure where you're at?
Oh, yes.
Second, you're just coming out of a dream. Yeah, and I wake up and then I realize I'm not in a concrete cell that's 8 by 10 feet wide. You know, and I'm laying in a bed. It's my own bed. I'm in my own room, and I am free. I can get up and walk right out the front door, you know, and stand out on my lawn in the front grass and wave at the neighbor, you know, who thinks I'm weird because I do that.
You know? Oh, you're being friendly. You know, that can be odd in modern days.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm happy to be here, you know, and just to be able to be outside when it's dark, you know, it's just incredible. It is an incredible feeling to be out here. And knowing that, you know, today I was calling. John, I did write to your, to the email you got. I guess you didn't get it.
We may have crossed paths. I did respond. I actually asked you if you'd ever be interested in coming in studio, which I think we should definitely do someday if it's within the realm of your possibility.
Yeah, I would love to do that. You know, that was a dream of mine back at Hardy. I literally had a daydream about being in the studio with you.
Dude, what if we did? Let's make that dream happen. Go ahead, John.
What if we did some version of, like, almost, I know that Leo's going to maybe hate generally the idea, but, like, some sort of telethon or fundraiser where, like, maybe we have Leo in and, like, maybe we have a setup down in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And people can come out and donate and we have, like, some stuff going on and we do a big celebration of Leo and get you down here to the station.
Leo Palooza.
Yeah, Leo Palooza.
We have bands play. Yeah. We're just making a big old celebration of life, and it's Leo Palooza, man.
I love it.
Oh,
I love
dude.
It.
We absolutely need to, because we have bands, brand friends that'll play for free.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to volunteer to play for free, even if they won't. Leo, listen, man, we love the hell out of you. And
I love to jam with you guys, by the way.
Oh, that's the other thing that that we didn't talk about the first time that was featured in the 2020 was how much Leo loves playing. And the fact that song that was featured in the podcast was your band. So you're the headliner, dude.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you play. And, like, you know, if you put down some melodic, you know, riffs and then somebody drums and John and I can rap.
Yeah, we can rap and sing. And, dude. It'd be a thing of beauty.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, that'd be great. That would be friggin' awesome.
Hell yeah, Will.
I would love that.
All right, let's do it. Yeah. Everybody look at our socials. John's Twitter, the John Senning, mine, at Drew on the Radio. It's also on the Drew Garabo Live with John Senning Facebook page. So check it out there. The GoFundMe to help Leo get back on his feet. Transportation, so many things that he missed out on for 36 years while he was wrongly imprisoned in the murder of his wife, Michelle. And, man, Leo, I got to say, what we said the first time rings true. So great to hear your voice. So awesome catching up with you. And let's do it sooner than later, okay, homie?
Yes, sir. Hey, do you guys got my personal cell phone?
Let's. We'll throw you on hold and we'll grab it. We'll grab it during the break.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, that'd be great. Great. Thank you. Hey, awesome. Thank you guys, man. I love you guys. You guys are the greatest thing on radio.
Yeah. Thanks, brother.
And, I love you too, man. On behalf of my family and myself, thank you.
Thank
for
you.
Real
man.
Honest.
Thank you, thank man. It's an honor. The honor is ours. I promise you that. Like, and we were so enthralled with Leo's story, but when we listened to the amazing podcast Bone Valley by Gilbert King, I never thought one day that we would not only be able to speak with him, like I maybe thought we could interview him or
maybe,
whatever.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that he was such a fan of ours while he was inside, a fan of ours now on the outside. Shout out to all you Hardy Boys doing it up in Hardy, except for you guilty dudes. This is not a shout out for you.
Yeah, and I will say, if you're somebody who doesn't really get down on podcasts and you just feel like you don't have the attention span for it, that new 2020 that they did really encapsulates the whole story. You can get an idea of what happened, how absolutely insane it all was, and how much they had to fight just to it's so crazy to go back and watch. And like in those early moments, it was a friend of his now wife who she thought maybe she could get a favor to just see if there was a match in the system for the or just see if it was in the system at all. And she gets the call. Not only is it in the system, but the guy's a murderer. The guy whose fingerprint was found inside of Michelle's vehicle on the side of the road and then admitted to it in detail has sat up in front of multiple people and said Leo is an innocent man. The man who actually did it is this Jeremy guy. And it just really makes you question the wheels of justice. I will tell you that much.
It's like a real life Shawshank Redemption, except you know he didn't tunnel through.
Yeah.
All that.
No,
stuff.
Yeah, no.
He, allegedly,
he did it legitimately.
I tried.
He did legitimately. He got on parole.
John, are you ready to give away a pair of Universal two-day passes?
I think so. I mean, what's our scale of heavy handedness here today? Because I mean, you know, we can be friendly at times, but I feel like this is a big time prize. I mean, like, would you say that on a scale from zero to perfection, we're looking for sevens and eights,
eights and nines?
Okay, even better.
Because this is a premium prize. I mean, we get some great stuff from Mike O. Don't get me wrong; he gives us great concert tickets, etc. But this one that Mike O. gave us, this is a premium.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a you know, premium. Well, never mind. Nothing.
Oh, I don't know, but it's a lot.
It doesn't matter. Yeah,
yeah, no. Hello there. He's John, and I'm Drew. Who are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I have something.
Okay. Would you like to share it with us?
Yes.
Is it a?
Here I go.
I'm sorry. Is it a rap something?
I think John said I used a couple of words, so I got something. Yes, I'm going to rap a little something.
Okay, well, if you're going to rap a little something, I got to give you just a little beat.
Drop that beat.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't get to rock them a cappella, fella.
Drop that beat, little cuz.
All right.
Okay.
What's your name?
Allie.
All right, Allie. If you're ready, I'm going to introduce you to a beat by Black Moon called How Many MCs. It's a pretty simplistic. I think it's a 4-4 beat. Perfect for four bars, if you will.
You see, I like E.T. I'm not phoning home, but I'm calling the bone. Yo, that's all I got.
I mean, I said quality, not quantity. You just needed, like, maybe one more line to send it home.
One or two.
I mean, it was good. The premise was good. You were there.
It was a fine rhyming couplet, but we're going to need a little bit more than that. I mean, if we just made it a couplet, anybody could win. You got to give me like a quintet, a sextet, an octuplet, like your Nadia Solomon on the main vein, riding on the train with the Clash, Johnny Cash, like a man in black, holding a fat sack, giving the mic to John because I know he'll give it back.
Feeling in my pants, yeah, it's starting to bulk. I'm shooting out the top like my name was the Hulk. I'm going down with a little bit of talking. Soon enough, you know I'll be city walking.
Oh, city walk with the vibe. They got a club called The Groove. It's open until 5 in the morning. That's a lie. And I ride E.T. because he's my main guy. I gave you a point, thought you could task it. You're riding around with E.T. in your basket on the bike. Silhouette is the moon. Line 2, get ready, because you're coming up soon. Are you Terrell?
Yeah, this is Terrell.
Terrell, rock that mic like your breath don't smell. You heard?
First time listener, long time caller. I heard you got some tickets from Round in the Wonder. Universal Studio. Universal Studio. I wish that I could brag I ain't never been. Tell my mom, send a picture to my friend. Universal Studio. Universal Studio.
All right. It's the best we've heard so far, Terrell.
What line is he on? I'm making notes over here just in case.
Line two for Terrell. 727-579-1025 and 800-771-1025. You don't need a hook, but it certainly didn't hurt him that
Universal
he had one.
Studio. Universal Studio.
Well, it's Universal Studio. Here I go. The hook from Terrell with that ill flow. Going next in line three. So, Miss Erica, what you got for me?
I'm there, but I can mama, pick me, please. Trying to go pull some triggers with those MIBs. I'm not here to play games. Just lend me your ear. Want to hang out with Harry Potter. Drinking butter beer. Chasing some dinos on the Jurassic Park ride. Maybe chilling out on a volcano baseline. Come get those tickets. Come on, man. Want to shoot some web with the Spider-Man, yo!
Oh, Erica.
We were looking for eights and nines, and we got one.
Wow!
Oh, I mean, that's damn! Hold on, that's you just set the bar so high. It's like you a lawyer. Shout out to Rush because they did that song Tom Sawyer. Hang on 1 second.
Wow, Erica, line three, the front runner currently.
Whoa.
I mean, dude, that's gonna be hard. I mean, she had reference after reference.
Oh, bars!
It flowed. She hit the beat.
Man,
damn!
I don't even know how. Like, if I'm on hold right now, I'm hanging up. I mean, I'm not saying you all should hang up, but definitely Terrell can, right? I mean, no offense against Terrell, but she...
I mean, she's the front runner. It's
sorry, Terrell, we love you, man.
Or nobody, you know, and it's just like...
Wow.
Drew Garabo, he is my favorite mister. Favorite impression, Bill Paxton, Twister.
During the film of this movie, I didn't get along with Helen Hunt. She wasn't groovy. Yeah, candy camera by Alan Funt. You know that I thought Helen Hunt was a real nice lady, you know? Very talented co-star.
Dude, Erica.
727-579-1025 and 800-771-1025. You can rhyme Cine Spectacular with the Wolfman, Mummy, and Dracula. Christine, I'd be real intimidated, but Universal could be well fated for you, dear. What do you got? I hope that your rhymes are inspired by pot.
Are you ready?
I am.
Universal, Universal Studio, Universal Studio with my Romeo. Walk in the park in the dark with my Romeo, Universal Studio.
Thank you. I mean, Shakespeare was cool. Sorry, Juliet, but I guess a rose is just a rose.
Erica, still the still the front runner by a long shot. It's going to take quite the lyricist to dethrone her.
You're having a Midsummer Night's Dream if you think them Romeo rhymes are going to win. You know what I'm saying, John? It's a Billy Shakespeare reference.
Yeah, you know.
You know Billy Shakespeare.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar.
Billy Shakespeare, they called him the bard. My rhymes like my penis is very, very hard. What? And you know I keep flowing. Got to make money off the veggies, John, growing like poblano peppers, cilantro as well. I like cilantro, but some say it smells and tastes real weird like a bar of soap. John, help me out. Don't let me hang on this rope.
I got a lot of things growing in the garden. Some make me feel like I am a little devil, a little mean devil, crawling through the streets. A little guy that eats lots of meats. I make my own jerky and I grow my own crops. All of these rhymes coming right off the tops of a dome. Don't roam. I'm talking about the chrome. I got it on my PC. That's where I roam.
What?
I'm Googling. I'm searching. I'm looking for things. I'm sitting over here eating battered chicken wings.
Damn, I love them chicken wings. What up, McDivitts? How you living, mullets? Drew Garabo live with John Senning. Who you is?
What up, it's Steve.
Hey, Steve.
Steve. Say it.
He said say it.
Ready?
No.
There is like a hook in here.
Like the Universal Studios one that Terrell did?
No. There's like lyrics are popping up on the beat.
Oh.
They're gone now. You can go, sir.
All right. I hit holes like Stiff Arms, like Orenthal James. I'm running through the...
No, sir. No.
What did he do?
Oh.
He was about to legit, like, spit flames. Oh. What happened?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you and I both, like, I thought you gave me a look, like...
If my look was, dude, this guy sounds like he's going to be great.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I thought it was the hit hose like Orenthal James that was objectionable.
I mean, I feel like you've set the stage for very few things to be objectionable.
If I have, that's a tremendous mistake. It's a family-friendly rap frenzy.
Yeah, it's something about when you talked about the hardness of your...
No, I didn't. I was speaking metaphorically.
Yeah. Damn, that guy got robbed.
He did. I didn't even realize that. Sorry, sir. Hello, Drew Grabo Live with John Senning. Who are you?
Eli. Yep.
Go ahead. Go for your rhyme book.
Used to be Drew Garabo in your face. You hooked up with John Cena and took your show to a better place. I work a hot job that keeps getting hotter. I think to myself, I'd like to see the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Oh. And then swing on through and check out Luke and his father. But don't worry, though, if I don't get the tickets to Drew Garabo. Or if I don't get the tickets to Universal Studio, I'm still going to listen to my boy, Drew Garabo.
Thank you, because Luke and his father is different.
That's somebody else. Other than that, the flow was nice. I don't think it was enough to dethrone Erica, but your flow was nice.
And if that young man would like to please call back, Steve, I do apologize. I'll get you right on. Might be. Drew Garabo Live with John Senning. Who are you?
What up, boys? Measly Mumble Mouth, flashing the past.
Measly Mumble Mouth. I remember you, but I don't know why.
He's an old...
Okay, because we had a rap battle like 5 years ago, and it went on for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, and then we finally squashed it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wow, great to hear from you. Real blast from the past.
Yo, trying to get these Universal tickets, guys. Let's go.
Do or do not. There is no try.
That's right. That's a different park, though.
I'm aware. We're waiting for you to go.
All right, let's go. Ready? Here we go. Hey, chill, bro. Let me go and eat my burrito. It's super fat because I fill it up with double meat. Ho, a treat, yo. Johnny, go and get me some Perico. Drew should check his prostate because he got a weak flow. My flow is spectacular. I spit blood like Dracula. Ziggy, I'm about to quantum leap. Scott Bakula.
Oh, that's good.
It was good.
A couple of Universal references and you might have won.
Yeah, the flow was there.
Yeah.
The flow was there.
Especially with the Scott Bakula reference.
I mean, Erica just had so many references jammed into a short period of time.
Yeah.
And we're breaking down the tape here. Nobody has stepped to her content.
They have not, John. There have been no stepping. Hello?
Hello?
What's your name?
David.
Go ahead, David, whenever you're ready.
All right, this is a special one. Ooh. It's been 26 years. I've shown you the worst of me. On this very day, it's our anniversary. I love you and kiss you like every day, because all along the way, you've only seen the best of me.
Are you hijacking 4 Bar Friday to write love notes to your girlfriend?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, it would be my wife for 26 years, and it is our anniversary today, so I'm not trying to hijack it.
Well, you're also not trying to win them tickets because there wasn't anything about Universal in there. But
at least she feels loved. You know, just
love is nice, John.
We'll sacrifice the rest of our feelings for that one person. But, you know, sometimes that's what you got to do when you love someone.
727-579-1025 and 800-771-1025. Drew Grabo Live with John Senning. Who are you?
Mike.
Mike, you go ahead. Your 4 Bar Friday for Universal Orlando. 2-day, 2-part passes. Make sure to make some Universal references in your rhymes.
Step to the queen.
All right. Drew and John, right here on the bone. I'm the king around here. Miss Erica is not taking my throne. My dog, Drew, you might catch him at the castle. My dog, John, you know, he like a rascal. Come on now. Let me get him to the studio.
Good.
You snapped. You came correct, but you just...
I mean, she was so good.
I mean, she probably had no less than 6 flawless references on beat. I mean, it's going to be hard to step to Queen Erica.
I mean, she had Butterbeer.
I don't even remember. She had Spider-Man. Dude, she had a really, really legit line about the Men in Black.
Oh, the ride. MIB pulling the trigger.
Pulling the trigger.
Yeah, that was... I mean...
Yeah, she... I almost wonder how long it took her to... Is she here now?
Yeah.
Erica, how long did it take you to write those raps? Did you start working on it yesterday?
I literally pulled in my driveway from work. I sat here and wrote it in like 6 seconds.
Wow.
Good work.
You're on a Kendrick Lamar level.
Yeah,
I'm just
like
poetry.
Oh, and
that's
what
it is. So. Oh, okay. Do you call often? I don't recognize your voice.
I don't. I listen every day, but I have never called in.
One of those people who listens every day and never calls in.
I tell my husband that I'm a good rapper. He's always laughing at me.
Well, you know what? He should laugh no longer, because as it stands right now, your raps are going to get you to Universal, but we still have... I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do everybody who's on hold right now.
Perfect.
And then if nobody can surpass your style, which poetry or prose, you got dope flows. You know what I'm saying?
All right. Come on.
And since you're a poet, I'm getting real mellow. I'd like to show you my Longfellow. Yeah. That's a literary reference to rhyme with John Senning. You know that's my preference.
Ooh, literary olive branch. I only like it if it has an avalanche. Snow pouring down, buried under there. It only hits me if there is a scare that comes from something that large and white coming down on that ass all night.
Oh, and the rocks fill the gorge. You know you touch kids like your name was Carl George.
Whoa. Okay. Sorry. But the OJ guy's got to go.
I made a mistake, John. I read the room wrong. Sorry to you and Steve. Hello there, who are you? I say hello there, who are you? Hi, line 5, what's up? I mean, people get real intimidated.
Erica got to him. Erica got in his head.
Hello.
Hello, this is Red from New York.
Okay.
Hey. Sound legit.
What's going on? How you doing, Drew?
You know, just cold kicking it, homie. What you doing?
I'm maintaining, driving home from work. You already know.
True.
This guy might be legit.
I know.
You got bars or what?
You know, I've been trying to... listen, I got bars, but I would like to say that I've been trying to get on your show for so long. I've been in St. Pete for 13 years, and this is the first time I got to speak to you guys, so it's definitely a privilege.
Honor is all on this side of the microphone, I assure you, my man. Thank you for that. I appreciate it, my dude.
Probably weren't trying that hard.
All day.
13 years.
Man, that's a long time to be trying.
Like, how hard have you been trying?
Not very.
Brother, every time I call, whether it's Roger JP or the other show in the morning, it's always, always busy. This is the first time, God willing and able, and God bless, I got through to you guys.
I feel like you just kind of checked us.
Yeah, he did check us. I guess we're a victim of our own popularity.
Yeah.
We just don't like to believe that we're that popular, but I guess people do be mad calling.
No. What he said was, I've tried to get a hold of Roger and JP and the morning show, and this is the first time I got through.
Oh, he did check us.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
He was like, none of the other shows, you know, they got any room, but I can sneak right in with you jokers.
Yo, every time I be hitting redial on them dudes, it's mad busy, but I called you guys the first time and ring, 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 you heard?
This ain't the first time I called you guys. Believe me.
All right.
But I enjoy your program every single day. You make my day good.
Thank you, my G. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Now let's hear what you got.
All right. I want to go to Universal. This ain't no rehearsal, but I need to be the first you. I need to go to a 2-yard dash with my daughters to get those 2-day pass. I come in rough and raw if you call the Falcons. Did I talk too much?
I don't want to be guilty of a little inanity, but one thing can't fly, and that is profanity. Maybe you didn't notice, but you laid a turd when you opened your mouth and you used the S word. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I did, sir. I am so sorry. I apologize.
Call us again. We love you. The flows were great. Tremendous.
Not enough Universal content in there.
A little more Universal content, a little less fecal content. We'd be good. But thank you for finally calling us. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Mike.
Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, I'm cutting up with the boys on the bone. Dropping 4 bars hotter than Volcano Bay. Trying to hit Universal, but I'm not talking record labels. have two kids that are twins, you know, two of a kind. But I ain't playing poker. Just trying to poker. If my son sees Spider-Man, he might blow his web.
It was, you get credit for being very interesting.
Yeah.
It was,
I don't know what to think.
Hello, Drew Graba live with John Senning. Who are you?
This is Illinois.
The whole entire state of Illinois?
You ready to go?
I mean, I don't have to do it.
Drew, ditching them Universal tickets like I got the Asian flu. There will be no ifs or buts. If I don't get them tickets, you can suck these nuts.
Turned down the wrong one. Thank you. Hello, Drew Graba live with John Senning.
Dude, watching you frantically.
Like, turn down the music instead of him. Hello, Drew Graba live with John Senning. Oh, you're Erica. All right, John, we've got four more.
All right, what can you do?
Hello.
Hey, this is Glenn. How you doing?
Glenn, I'm real good, man. You want to, you're the fourth to last, so give it a shot.
All right, here we go. This is what I got. If you're on hold, you can hang up, because I'm a big dog like you a little pup. I can smell the fear. Can you feel the flavor that I'm kicking in your ear? Your bars are soft. My bars are...
He's missing the part where you have to rap about Universal Studios?
You're not going to win if you don't pack... Your entire bars, whether it's 2, 4, 8, 16, full of Universal.
And I mean, that guy, he was kind of funny. Yeah. He had something going, but not here. Not
Listen,
today.
We've heard from some tremendous, like probably the best four bar Friday we've ever had.
I think you may be right.
When it comes to proficiency, but when it comes to Universal content, there seems to be a deficiency. You see? Hello there. Go ahead. And who are you?
Hi, my name is Amanda.
Oh, that phone connection is terrible.
Phone connection is a little garbled, but we'll try to fight through it. Go ahead, dear.
Okay. My name is Amanda.
Hello there, Drew Graba live with John Senning, 4 Bar Friday for Universal 2-day, 2 park passes.
This is Ella again.
Ella again.
I'm the Disney adult, remember?
Ella, the Disney adult. I don't remember.
It's all good, but I have some bars to spit.
When you say again, you didn't call us already today. You called us previously to talk about being a Disney adult.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I do recall now. I'm sorry.
Oh, I totally remember you.
I apologize. Yeah, no, we totally do. Sorry.
Absolutely.
My fault.
We were actually talking about you the other day.
Yeah, I was like, hey, why isn't that Ella, the Disney adult, called recently, John?
Yeah, and I said, don't worry, she'll call again.
Well, here I am.
Again.
Ready?
Yep.
Lay it.
I'm not here to just come and roaster. Let's just go ride the Velocicoaster. Don't let the mouse come and give you debt, because the Florida heat is making us sweat. Hulk makes me feel a little too nervous, but I'm getting ready for the dark universe. I'm always ready and tuned in to John and Drew, so all I can do is bid you adieu.
Very respectable.
Incredibly respectable. Probably like a 7.5.
On an average day, without someone like Erica in our universe.
Dark universe.
Yeah, it would probably be a winner, but Erica just set the damn bar too high.
She did. You were great, though. Please don't feel bad about what you've done here today.
Yeah, don't wait.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Wait so long to call again.
Again. Two more. Hello, who are you?
Whipper guy.
Oh, Whipper Man,
whipping them upstairs at the castle. No hassle, you heard?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to try this, boys. Rapping's not my first thing. You know, it's always whipping. So you ready?
Sure. Don't be slipping.
All right. Yo, it's Drew Garabo live, coming through your airwaves, bringing all the hype, got the listeners amazed. Catch them at Universal, where the fun's legit. From the coasters to the shows, it's a perfect fit. Swinging with Spidey, casting spells with flair. We bring the hottest topics, always fresh on air. To tune in daily for that energy boost. Drew Garabo live, always bringing the truth.
He's not wrong. We do bring the truth. Really good, Whipper Man.
Yeah, I,
Really good.
So, I mean.
Really good.
Top notch.
Like Sasquatch.
Yeah, but it's. I mean, Erica still holds the throne.
She does, right? But yeah. Damn it, yeah.
Whipper Man, you.
We love you.
This is it.
This is the last person.
This is the last person to challenge Erica's throne.
Who are you lined for?
This is Carl.
Carl, you come at the queen, you best not miss.
Hell yeah, straight from prison.
All right, my name is Carl. My daughter's iCarly. At Universal, we about to get gnarly. All day long, we're going to get on the slide. Straight at Universal, we trying to ride. Everybody knows this is what we do. Me and Carly is an army of two. Yeah, we trying to have fun all day. This is our car. What can I say?
Not bad at
also
all, sir.
Great rhymes.
Not bad.
Great rhymes.
Not bad. We've had some great.
Wow. Wow. I think possibly, undeniably, one of the best, if not the best, Four Bar Fridays.
I think head and shoulders. Maybe it was the prize. Maybe it was the people.
Almost every one was good.
Yep.
Like there was nobody that was absolutely terrible.
Nope. Even the dude who swore, I didn't get mad at him because he was that good.
He was good. And
usually,
was from New York.
I very get mad if they swear.
I hate when you very get mad.
Yo. The rhyme wasn't bad for a bunch of whites. I can't wait for Halloween Horror Nights. I hope we get to do a show there. Yeah, a broadcast. John, you grab the microphone and come on last.
I hope that I don't bring that hassle. Bend it on over. You can stick it on my...
castle?
Where Drew's having drinks with his 21-year-old son.
Oh.
Everybody come out and have a little fun.
No.
Oh, oh, everyone's young, but still have a little...
Erica, congratulations, girl.
You're the queen. You're the queen. You're the queen.
Yes, the queen.
Yeah.
I love it.
Writing rhymes in your car.
I can't wait to send it to my husband.
Yeah. You should take another dude and theme park cuck him.
Yeah.
Another dude? I just might.
You should. You totally should. You, in his face.
I'm so excited. Wow. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You did great.
That's
like,
awesome.
Like to scribble thank that down you. In your car, John. You look
oh,
like
yeah.
What?
Yeah, I got one rhyme.
All right,
one rhyme.
Right.
It's one bar maybe.
One bar. All right, hold on.
Yeah,
bringing us home, John Senning.
You're gonna go.
Come on, you got this.
Hold
you
on,
got
hold
this.
On,
here's John. Here's John.
I think I lost it.
You don't.
I think I lost it.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotta spit it for your husband. You know he's not a fool. Give it to him right with a little haktua. Yeah.
I like that.
I knew it was in there.
I like that.
Thank you. Glad we got to bring that haktui out of you.
Yeah. When she said spit, it's all I think about.
I'm spitting like haktui. Yeah. That would have been a winner,
by the
way.
That would have been, yeah.
If somebody, like, there was a way to win, and I feel good about that. Like, Erica, you were great, like 9.2.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a 10 out there who could have been like 600 drones. They're lighting up King Kong while my husband's at home and he's playing with his ding dong.
Yeah, I mean.
That's true.
Going back to the future, like when name was Doc Brown, then I go over to Jaws at Amity Town. You know what I'm saying? Like there was
good.
Thank you. There was a path there, but no one did it.
Nobody was able to achieve that today. Yeah. I mean.
Yeah.
I think the last couple times we've done bars, it's been lady winners. Because remember we had the lady that actually was a universal prize. Because remember we had the people come out and meet us.
Oh, yeah.
At the broadcast center.
And her
and
kid.
The lady that won. No, the lady. Oh, they might have both rapped. Because the other lady that rapped brought her husband.
Yeah, that's right. They were both really nice.
We got lady lyricist in the house.
Man, it's a lady lyricist lounge up in this piece.
Good work, Erica.
Way to represent. Tell us a little something about yourself, Erica.
I'm sorry?
Oh, tell us a little something about yourself.
I am 47.
Wow.
My daughter is going to college in 2 months.
Congratulations.
And I work for the sheriff's office.
Oh, sexy. Wow. You carry a strap?
I just got out of work.
You strapped up?
So I'm
I'm a process server.
Okay.
Well, I mean, there are process servers who pack heat, well, for sure.
You got a taser or some mace or what?
No, I'd probably tase myself, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. That's better than macing yourself, unless you're Diddy.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, you hang on. I'm going to get your information, and congratulations. You're going to go see some great stuff this summer, hopefully with your husband, who will now believe in your rapping ability.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Your rhymes, much like the new show, Cinespectacular.
Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. Hang on one second.